Well, good morning. Good morning. What a gift to be together. As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 95. This comes from the Message translation. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best. High King over all the gods. In one hand, he holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, grasps the high mountains. He made ocean. He owns it. His hands sculpted earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him, on your knees before God who made us. Oh yes, he's our God. And we're the people he pastures, the flock he feeds. Drop everything and listen. Listen as he speaks. Don't turn a deaf ear as in the bitter uprising, as on the day of the wilderness test, when your ancestors turned and put me to the test. For 40 years they watched me at work among them as over and over they tried my patience, and I was provoked. Oh, I was provoked. Can't they keep their minds on God for just 5 minutes? Would you pray with me? God, we've come to this place to keep our minds on you for a whole hour, maybe even more. We've come, oh God, to open our hearts before you because you are the good shepherd who pastures us, your flock, so tenderly, with so much love and so much protection, so much strength, and yet so much care. We've come before you, O God, because you are good, the high, holy, only God, the creator. Oceans and mountains are like nothing to you. You hold it all in your hands, and still there's room for more. And yet, as big and vast as you are, you choose to know us individually, intimately, to speak to us, to love us. And so this morning, oh God, open our minds to fathom how big you are and open our hearts to feel how near you are. This great mystery, the living God, with us, for us, in us. As we worship in this place, would you wake us up? Would you warm us up to your presence here among us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We continue our journey with Jesus and stories from the Gospel of Luke. This morning, Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." If you grew up in the church, he's probably the first person you remember learning about, besides Jesus, of course. And you learned about him, not because he was some great hero of the faith, but you learned about him because you sang about him. When you were just a little bitty, he was the one that you first learned about through that little song, you know it. And then from it, you know the couple things that you know about this guy, Zacchaeus. That he was
a wee little man. Poor Zacchaeus, the one song he has for 2,000 years now. He was a wee little man, and then one day he climbed up a tree to see Jesus. We know him because we learned a song about him. Only if every story in Scripture had a cute little song like that, we would know the story, wouldn't we? It's a good project for our musician friends. We know he was a wee little man, and he climbed a tree to see Jesus. Is that all there is about him? This morning, we want to move beyond the Sunday school song and just try for a little while to actually get to know him, Zacchaeus, to consider the rest of the story. So Jesus is in town, Jericho to be exact, and Zacchaeus is desperate to see him. Have you ever been desperate to see someone or to see something? When you travel different destinations, there's usually something wherever you go that you have to see and that you will build your entire schedule around. When I lived in Egypt for 2 years, anytime guests would come in, you know what their first question always was? When are we going to see the pyramids? That's exactly what it was. Now, where's the motel? Where are we going to eat? When are we going to see the pyramids? And the entire rest of their vacation would be planned around that. They were desperate to see it. When I went to London summer before last, the one thing that was on my bucket list, I only had one day in the city of London, the one thing that was a must-do for me was to get to see the play Les Mis live in London. And then I looked at the schedule and only worked in my travel schedule on the first day that I was going to arrive at 7 o'clock that night. And I've traveled the world before to know that that first full day in a foreign country, you are not on your best. I knew that come 7 p.m. London time, I was going to be so jet-lagged. And I knew that I was going to spend the whole day by myself walking around London, miles and miles in the rain, looking at all the other sights. I knew all these things. I knew I'd be exhausted. It didn't matter in the least. Because I was going to see Les Mis in London. And I did. And I dozed off through the whole entire thing. But it didn't matter. Because when the curtain dropped, I was there. I wasn't going to miss it. I was like, I'm so glad I know the story. I would have no idea what's going on. But I was desperate to see it. When Guy and I went to Texas just two months ago. I don't even know about time anymore. We had this list of people that I was desperate for him to meet, immediate family and the closest friends. And we were only there for like a week in three different cities. And so there were others on the list that was like, you know, if we happen to have time, this would be a nice visit too. But there were like 10 that were just non-negotiables. And for those 10, we would get up earlier, or we'd stay up late, or we'd drive an extra 100 miles, or eat a second dinner, or whatever it took to see those folks on the list. I was desperate for him to know the people that I love, and everything else could just kind of work around that. When we are desperate to see something, are desperate to see someone, everything else can wait. Everything else can get in line. Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus. Work could wait. Whatever else was on his schedule that day in Jericho, it could be put on hold. He was desperate to see Jesus. And I have to ask myself, am I that desperate to see Jesus? When we awaken to a brand new day, it's our very first consideration before our feet even hit the ground. How can I possibly see Jesus today? How can I not miss him when he passes by? Is that my first concern? Is that my first passion? And does everything else fall in line behind that? Am I desperate to see Jesus, that I might be as desperate to see him as I am to see the great sights of the world and to meet my loved ones on my trips back home, that I might be that desperate to see my Jesus, and that I might stop in my tracks more often and rework my schedule whenever necessary, just because I am desperate to see Jesus, that I might be desperate. Zacchaeus' life-changing encounter started just because he was desperate to see him. And that's how ours will start too. Just a little desperation. But there's a problem. Two, actually. One, Zacchaeus didn't really have that many friends around him. The opposite, in fact. He was, it says, the chief tax collector. And it adds on, and he was rich. Do you know how tax collectors get money back then? We're saying what they didn't think of. Back then, you know how they got money? By adding interest to whatever taxes they would go and say, you owe this much to the government, and then they would pad it a bit to their own discretion, and however much they padded the amount by, that got put in their pockets. And so do you know how a tax collector gets to be really rich?
Steals.
Yeah, by padding their pockets with a lot of your money. That's how they do it. And so he wasn't just a collector. He was a really, really rich one. That means he had taken advantage of lots and lots of others for his own dishonest gain. Zacchaeus, he got rich by getting a little help from his friends. And they hated him for it. I got this nice bonus check from the church back in August when I hit my 5 years as the pastor. And you know what happened? The stupid government took 40% of that from me. And oh man, ever since August, I ever so often get this place and I start to loathe this mysterious institution that took my gift away. How dare they do that? And Zacchaeus, he was a face and a name to put to all those feelings of being duped and stolen from. How dare he? That's Zacchaeus. And so when Jesus is in town, there's not going to be anyone saying, hey, Zac, old buddy, old pal, come stand by me. I've got front row seats to this Jesus guy. You can come up here with me. I'll scoot over. No, he's on his own if he wants any glimpse of seeing this Savior. And problem is, that's not his only problem. He's also short, better known to you as a wee little man. Zacchaeus is desperate to see Jesus, but he's faced with his own limitations that are going to make that really, really hard. The truth is, we've all got limitations, don't we? Circumstances, personality quirks, just stuff that keeps us from seeing Jesus as clearly as we want to see him. What are yours? Your limitations. What keeps you from seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus, as much as you long to see him and know him? I've heard some of you share yours. You say, I go to find Jesus and I just get so distracted. I mean, I want to sit still and I want to be in his presence and I want to see Jesus when he passes by, but as soon as I get still and it gets quiet, oh my gosh, my brain, I start thinking about all the things that I need to do and those dirty dishes that I've ignored just fine for the last 3 days. All of a sudden, they're calling out to me and I just can't focus enough to really see Jesus. My brain just goes all over. A limitation. Some of us would say our limitation is the busyness of it all. Work schedule, kids' schedules. Turns out these people in your house, they want to eat dinner like every single night. And you're just going and going and going and you're doing and you're doing. you say, I want to see Jesus, I do, but if he's in town, I'm probably going to blow right past him somewhere between a McDonald's run and ballet. The busyness, it just keeps me from seeing Jesus. It's a limitation. Some of you have told me just even recently, Pastor, you know, I didn't grow up getting to know Jesus and learning about him like you did. And I didn't come to all this faith stuff until much later in life, and I feel like I'm just always playing catch up. I don't know the Bible stories. I don't even know how to see Jesus if I want to. There's nobody in town that makes some big announcement to me that says, here he comes, don't miss him. I want to see him, but I don't have the tools to help me see him. I'm new to this. Some call that a limitation. Whatever it is, we all have something. I truly doubt that any of us see Jesus as clearly as we really like to see him. And I doubt that any of us have really arrived in feeling as close to Jesus as our hearts really want to be close to him. And so I wonder, for you, what is it? What's keeping you from it? What would you say is your biggest limitation to seeing, really knowing Jesus these days? Zacchaeus was short, and he wasn't getting any help from the crowd. And so the question is, what did he do with his limitation? And that's the real question. Not do we have some limitations, because we do. We all do. The real question is, so then what do we do about them? Did Zacchaeus just go home that day and throw his shoes off and start to pout and say, this is not fair. Everyone else gets to see Jesus, but I'm too short. No. Did he just go back to work that day knowing that no one was going to help him out and say, I'm on my own again, not even worth the effort to try. Things like this never go my way anyway. Did Zacchaeus do any of that? No. Not for a second. You see, for Zacchaeus, his limitation was just his motivation to think outside the box a little bit. He dug deep, and he found within himself that inner child, and he climbed a tree. And there, perched above the crowd, he was ready for Jesus to pass by. Picture it, a grown man sitting in a tree. When's the last time you grown men climbed a tree? We do live in Belmere, so it could have been like yesterday. But most of them would say, not never. A grown man in a tree. Now that shows some real dedication. That shows some real interest in this Savior. More so than those folks who didn't have to do anything that day to see Jesus anyway. They just happened to be where he passed by. It was hard for Zacchaeus to see Jesus. But by golly, he was there, waiting in that tree. You see, too often we see our limitations as excuses to just quit growing in our relationship with Jesus. Well, it's hard, you know, it's hard to grow in Jesus. Now, I have A, B, C, D, F limitations. Excuses to just kind of stay where we are. And what we're missing is this beautiful truth that our limitations are actually our greatest opportunity to show Jesus just how much we really do love him. Our limitations, they become our chance to say to Jesus, even though, Jesus, this isn't easy for me, I am absolutely determined to find some way to show up to you anyway. In the face of my limitations, Jesus, I'm not giving up and walking away. I'm just looking for my trees, the ones that you have for me to climb. In the face of my limitations, Jesus, I'm just imagining some creative outside-the-box way to tell you that nothing is going to keep me from seeing you, Jesus. We give up too easily. We just give up too easily. When we are determined to encounter Jesus, no matter how hard it is to get there. Well, now that's real love. Now that moves a Savior's heart. The last couple weekends, I've had some beautiful showers from the ladies in the church. And last weekend, the group of ladies that were there, they circled around me, and they all taken time to write out a prayer of blessing on mine and Guy's marriage, and they gathered around. And what was so beautiful was that one by one, before the ladies would read their prayer, so many would say, you know, I've never done this before. I've never prayed out loud. This is kind of awkward. Or someone said, I never written a prayer. I don't know if I did it right, but here's what I've got. And then some of them just said, you know, I think that this is going to come off really awkward. I'm going to sound stupid, but here's what I've got. And there they would sit one at a time around the circle, and their hands would be shaking, and their voices would be trembling, and they were being so vulnerable, just pouring out this blessing on me, despite how uncomfortable and how hard it was for them. And even more than those beautiful words that were offered to me, what I will carry with me for the rest of my life was that picture of those hearts. These ladies naming to me their limitations, saying, this is hard for me, but showing up to bless me with their blessing anyway. And my friends, so much more so with our Jesus. Whatever your limitation is, don't use it to run away and hide from Jesus. That's just your opportunity to find your tree and show up to see Jesus anyway. Especially when it's hard. That's your way to tell Jesus, Jesus, look up. I'm here. And it was hard to get here, but I am showing up to you, Jesus, because I love you that much. Especially when it's hard, I will show up to you, Jesus. Just find your tree. They're everywhere. Jesus passes by. Zacchaeus gets that glimpse that he's wanting. And it seems for Zacchaeus that that would have been enough. He just wanted to see him. What's this guy up to? What's he look like? Will he do something cool while I'm watching? And sometimes, just that glimpse, that's all we really want too. Just a little glimpse of Jesus. That's good enough sometimes. Sometimes we come to church just kind of honestly wanting to blend in with the crowd. You know, I just want to sing the songs, pray the prayers, eat the bread, join the procession back to our homes. And we're okay with that. That's good. That's good enough. We get this glimpse. So many Sundays, we don't really actually want Jesus to show up and call our names out of the crowd. Let's just kind of let him pass by. A glimpse is enough. If Jesus gets too close, stuff goes missing. Stuff gets intense. We like the glimpses. Zacchaeus gets more than he signed up for. Jesus stops. And he looks up at that tree right at him. And Jesus calls him by name. Do you see that? No one's told Jesus, hey, Zacchaeus. Jesus just knows, Zacchaeus, I see you in that tree. Zacchaeus, I knew you before you ever climbed it. Zacchaeus, I knew you would be here, and I never intended to just pass you by. I never intended to just give you a glimpse. Zacchaeus, I must. Did you hear the urgency in that? Zacchaeus, I must go home with you today. Are we comfortable with this Jesus who wants more in this relationship than we let ourselves be content with? We're way too easily satisfied. We give up too easily, and we're way too easily satisfied. Are we okay with this Jesus who wants way more in this relationship with us than we let ourselves be content with? The glimpse, he doesn't want a glimpse. He wants to come to our house. Are you open to this Jesus who right now is looking at you in this crowd of people And he is calling your name. And he's saying, hey, I need lunch plans. And I must go home with you. How do you feel about this Jesus who just kind of invites himself over? And are you okay with that? Are you at home with this Jesus whose urgent plea is to get to come home with us? Is that your Jesus? Is that the one you know and you love and you're knowing and loving more and more? Here's, I think, the most awesome news for today. You got to hear this. And if you zoned out like who knows when, come back just for this. Just for this. Come back. Come back. Because this is good news. Get this. It's true. You can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. Did you get that? But my limitations, we already talked about that. Get over it. You can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. Amen. Have you ever had that person in your life that deep down, you probably didn't admit it because it makes you sound vulnerable, but deep down you really wanted to be a really good friend with them? They were just kind of cool, kind of fun, and they were the in crowd. You just kind of wanted to be their friend, and it just never panned out. As much as you want to be their bestie, it just didn't connect. They didn't want to be your bestie. Ever had that? Good news. Jesus isn't that person. As much as your heart wants of him, that much you can have. However close you long to be with Jesus, good news, you've got it. This is the Jesus that calls his children by name and says, your house today? I must come over. Jesus, he wants even more out of this relationship with you and me than we want. He wants more. And so however much we long for, he is already ready to make it happen. You can have however much of Jesus you want. He can hang in your house, your heart, however much you want him to. Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today. Did you know that Jesus says the same thing to you? You can have as much of him as you want. We just don't often want all that much. Just a glimpse. Just a glimpse. That we may want more than a glimpse. You know, the crowd is not so giddy about Jesus picking Zacchaeus' house. This guy, they begin to crumble together. That guy whose pants are falling down because he's got our money in his pockets. Jesus, we're good people. We're actually being really good today. Jesus, we're actually actively helping people with their homework. We are good people. Jesus, we make an honest living. We are kind to our neighbors. We're trying to follow God. Jesus, if you're hungry, come to our house. We'd love to have you. In fact, Jesus, we deserve to have you. And we just shake our heads. Oh, those dumb crowds. But could we stand in their shoes for just a second? Just try to see it from their perspective. It's actually not that hard. Who's the person that's done you the most wrong? Don't say it out loud. That wouldn't be healthy. But who's the person that's done you the most wrong? Right when I ask that question, you got a name, don't you? You got a name. Who's used you for their very own gain? Who do you feel like is always getting away with immoral deeds? Am I the only one that sees it? And now imagine that person is right here in this room. Maybe they already are. Kind of hope not. But imagine they're right here in this room, sitting in one of these pews. Just picture where they're sitting. If it's actually them, don't look at them. Don't make eye contact. But picture they're in this room. And Jesus walks in this door, the side, because Jesus would be the side door kind of person, wouldn't he? Walks in this door, we're in awe. There's Jesus, we're speechless. And he walks right up front, right here. And he begins to scan the crowd. Some of us are thinking, pick me, pick me. Some of us are like, don't pick me, don't pick me. What if he's scanning the crowd? And he stops, sets his gaze right on that person. And you're ready, right? Call him out, Jesus. He's the one that knows the truth. Call him out. You're ready. You lean forward. This is going to be good. And Jesus tenderly calls their name. And he says to them, please, can I have lunch with you today? What? What? Jesus, don't you know what they've done? What about my heart, Jesus? What about my needs, Jesus? What about my home, Jesus? Why them? It's not right. That's not right. You see those crowds? Are you in that crowd? You can feel it. We get it. Because we're those people. We almost can't help it. We struggle with the same small view of Jesus that they struggled with. We see Jesus and the whole world through this lens of scarcity, and that says that there's only so much of a good thing to go around. And so if somebody else gets what's good, that means there's less for me. If Zacchaeus gets Jesus' full attention, that means there's no attention left for me. If Zacchaeus gets into Jesus' busy schedule, there's no time slots left in Jesus' schedule for me. If Zacchaeus gets Jesus' love, there might not be any love left for me. And my friends, that's not how it works with Jesus. He's God. Turns out he doesn't run out. Jesus has enough chairs at his table for all of us. He's got enough really good rooms in his house for all of us. He's got enough grace in his blood to cover all of our sins. He's got enough love in his heart to love all of us completely. So that means we can celebrate when our Jesus moves in kindness toward another, even our enemy, even Zacchaeus. Because as Danielle said this week in staff meeting, she said, Jesus isn't pie. If you get a piece, and you get a piece, and you get a piece, and you get a piece, that doesn't mean that I don't get a piece. He doesn't run out. Anxious, grumbling crowds can take a deep breath because Jesus doesn't run out. He can eat with Zacchaeus, and he can have a lovely meal. And he can love you totally, completely, generously, and intimately too. Should I say it again? Jesus doesn't run out. So just celebrate his goodness wherever it shows up, with whoever receives it. If there's enough Jesus for them, there's also enough Jesus for you. And his Jesus encounter. This is the last point, and it's big. So get ready. In his Jesus encounter, Zacchaeus is radically changed. Just like that. He starts making crazy promises. Jesus, I will give half my possessions to the poor, and whatever I've stolen, I'll pay it back, and I'll do it four times as much. Did you get that? Just like that, this man who has become rich by making others poor signs his life away to making others rich while he gets poorer and poorer by the day. Wow. He's a new person with this entirely new way of living. And you hear what Jesus calls that? After Zacchaeus makes his proclamation, here's what I'm going to do, Jesus. I'm going to become poor so they can be rich. Jesus says, now that is salvation. But he never prayed the sinner's prayer. He never walked the aisle. He never led Jesus into his heart. Then Jesus says, now that is salvation. You see, somewhere along the way, we seem to have watered down this beautiful word, salvation. Somewhere along the way, we've made it into just some little prayer we pray in private one day, asking Jesus to come and live in our hearts. It's very intimate. It's very us and Jesus-y. And this exchange, I'm saved, And when we say that, often we mean, well, I believe in Jesus, and so I get heaven. It's this exchange. We talk about my salvation as if I own it. Like something between me and God that is really none of your business. You shouldn't ask me about my salvation. I shouldn't ask you about yours. What right do you have? It's my salvation. Do you notice that this isn't how Zacchaeus' salvation plays out at all? He encounters Jesus. He encounters Jesus. And in the presence of such love, Zacchaeus' whole entire way of living in this world is turned upside down just like that. And his personal encounter with Jesus, just like that, directly impacts the lives of all the people in his community with him. Just like that. His salvation isn't his own at all. Not even for a moment. Not even while he grows and gets discipled. No, it's not ever only about him. Everything Jesus has done in Zacchaeus directly affects the community around him the second that he is saved. Every time our hearts really encounter Jesus, we will be changed. When's the last time we were changed in the presence of Jesus? That we may encounter him more and more. Every time we encounter him, we will be changed. And our change must mean something for the folks around us. It must. Every saved person in Belfair, Washington is saved for the good of Belfair, Washington. This is totally un-American. This is Kingdom of God stuff. There is no such thing as my individual salvation story. What God has done in you, what God is doing in you, must directly impact what God is doing around you. Right out there. It must. But what's happening in here, in your heart, affects what's happening out there. This is salvation. A real encounter with the Jesus whose grace covers you, whose love heals you, and a commitment, a real commitment, to let that grace and love of Jesus flow through you. Until our real community knows the goodness of Jesus too. That is salvation. It is a communal experience. How's the community experiencing your salvation with you? That's salvation. The second Zacchaeus was changed by Jesus, he committed to live off of less so his neighbors could have more. And Jesus called that salvation. Not just what God was doing in Zacchaeus, but what God was now going to do through Zacchaeus. Salvation for us must directly impact life for them. It must. It's not just between me and Jesus. Turns out nothing ever is. Salvation is always about us. What's God doing in you these days? We have some kind of answer for that, that he's actively doing something. What's God doing in you these days? And how is that playing out through you, touching them? Whatever's happening in here, in our hearts, it has to mean something out there. It has to. That's salvation. This week, that we might be desperate to see Jesus. This week, that our limitations might simply be opportunities to show our Jesus how much we really do love him. This week, that our hearts might actually actually be the place that we hear Jesus say, that's where I want to come and be at home this week. That our Christ encounters might directly change us and impact our community for good this week. That our salvation, like almost 100 people's salvation, might mean that they get a chance at salvation too. This week could happen. Could happen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I'm desperate to see you. I want my limitations to be opportunities to love you more. I don't want to be a grumbling person in the crowd thinking that your grace only goes to a certain extent. I want to celebrate every place I see it offered, every life that comes to life in you. And Jesus, this week, more than anything, I want what you're doing in me to not just be our little cute secret, but I want it to be my gift to this real part of our world that needs to know the blessed goodness of Jesus too. Could salvation for me mean salvation for them? Could salvation for us in this room mean we have a truckload of miracles to share with a community in need of a Savior who just happens to be passing through, not Jericho, Belfair. Let us see you. Let them see you too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.